My family, we moved to the U.S. in 1978, lived predominantly on the East Coast, Pennsylvania, D.C., Northern Virginia. And I went to school there, started my career there in information technology, and in 2010 relocated to the Bay Area, namely Oakland, because of my job and working for a software company in Pleasanton. And then in 2013, December, I left my job, and now I'm here looking to be the next mayor of Oakland.
What makes a software engineer? Is that what you were?
Yes.
What makes a software engineer want to be mayor?
The desire to serve his neighbors, if you will. If you look at our political system today, it is entirely controlled and, if I may say, owned by big money, whether it is deep pocket donors or special interests or corporations. Their influence on the election and consequently on our officials, public officials, is immense. And frankly, my motivation is to bring some principles into politics.
Principles like what? Well, first of all, let me say you don't take donations. You don't take campaign donations.
It's true, yes.
You don't have swag or shirts or...
I don't have any of that stuff. And they're all frivolous. The objective is just to turn it into a beauty contest, a popularity contest, right? Who has the most impressions of and face recognition, name recognition, when it comes time for the voters to cast a vote. Whereas really we need to be talking about substance. We need to be talking about specific programs that we are willing to commit to at this time during the campaign season. So that's where the principles that I'm suggesting is being able to commit to serving the entire population of Oakland versus just a very small few who have the financial means to influence the election.
But you still need money, right, for the campaign?
You need money, but in all fairness, in this day and age, you don't need as much money. Right now, the limit for Oakland is $405,000. There are 400,000 residents in Oakland, 200,000 of which can vote, and about 100,000 that show up. So if you do the math, it's $1 per resident, $2 per voter, $4 per the person who actually shows up. In this day and age, we should not need that kind of money in a what I would consider a small population in a very reachable audience. So if we look at it as compared to other democracies around the world, it's absurd. It really is absurd. So no. Yeah, we need money. You probably need money in the tens of thousands, not hundreds of thousands. And that's something that just about anyone should be able to reach.
So what is it about Oakland for Saeed Karamoz? What is it about this city that makes you want to run it, to be in charge?
Oakland is artificially almost intentionally is suppressed or underperforming with respect to its surroundings. Oakland is located at the epicenter of the richest region, of the richest state, of the richest country. And yet, its unemployment is above the national average across the board. Now, there are pockets that are unemployment is in the 20s and 30% in Oakland. Oakland has immense potential. Oakland arguably has probably the highest concentration of multilingual individuals in the country. Oakland arguably has probably the highest concentration of first generation immigrants, which historically have outperformed all other demographics. And yet, the numbers are staggering in terms of unemployment, in terms of crime rate, in terms of high school dropouts, and the list goes on. And I attribute all of that to a broken city government that is not serving the entire city of Oakland. Rather, it is serving the select few.
Okay, so let's start going into some of these things that you talked about. For example, if we focus a little bit on public safety, which is a big issue and a big deal, and part of actually the image kind of Oakland today, sad to say, crime and public safety. What when we're focusing on public safety only, what else do you think is being ignored that needs to be worked on? Like, what issue is not getting the focus it deserves because the focus is on public safety and police and crime?
Yeah. I believe public safety is a byproduct. The real issues that need to be dealt with in Oakland to address public safety are, one, employment. And by employment, to just drill just a little bit deeper, it's not so much necessarily creating jobs, which we do need to create jobs, but we need to have a skilled employment, a skilled labor force, which means skilled citizens in a variety of things. Predominantly, frankly, construction is a booming industry in this region. We don't need to go after the high tech, light industrial, call centers, again, to tap into the language diversity that we have.
Tech
call centers, exactly. But all of those are fairly rapid ramp up. They can be mobilized in a matter of weeks and months, not years. People can be trained very quickly. The facilities can be built out very quickly and so on. So on topic of public safety, though, A, we need to get the young men and women off the streets who are idling right now and frankly, are frustrated to reduce our crime rate. Two, housing. We need to pay more attention to the quality of homes, the affordability of the houses, the quantity of affordable homes, and the condition of the homes, predominantly the rental properties. So by virtue of addressing employment and housing, I think we can have a dramatic impact on crime. And then on top of that, we need to work on the education side, specifically in the African American and Hispanic population, where the young men have a over 50% dropout rate out of high school. And there are many intervention programs that have proven successful. We have to continue to stay focused on that. And frankly, as a mayor, I think can have a dramatic influence on that just by virtue of bring it to the forefront by being present, showing up in various events to encourage these young men to stay in school and continue with their education.
And so, what needs to be done at the level of OUSD, for example, do you think that you don't like now?
As far as the education system, I can't frankly point to any one thing. My focus, frankly, is just chronic absenteeism. So addressing things that are keeping the students from attending on a regular basis, and it's a rapidly, spiraling thing. So in other words, by missing just a few days, you begin to lose so much traction and you start falling behind that then it becomes, I wouldn't say impossible, but it becomes very, very difficult to dig back out. So the intervention programs that I'm thinking of would be along the types of things that one of the, I think, assistant principal, his name is Ashanti Branch, who's, I think it's called Ever Forward Club that he has created that's been very, very effective. Those kinds of things work. Institutional things generally don't work as effectively. We have to connect with these students. We have to, probably a very effective thing to do is to convene a group of at-risk students, find some of the students who had dropped out last year, for example, some educators, some educational administrative individuals, right? Bring them all together and frankly, just understand what was it that caused some people to drop out last year, for example? And what is it that the current at-risk students are facing? And just deal with it.
Hmm.
Right? The idea is not to come up with some grandiose programs to solve some of these things. Generally, the solution is much simpler than we as bureaucrats think they need to be.
So are you a bureaucrat, though? I mean,
I am not a bureaucrat. I shouldn't have said include myself. I should have said, you know, in a company of bureaucrats.
In all fairness, no.
Being in the private sector, you are expected to deliver results in the most effective, optimal manner. So, and simplified solutions are generally the most effective.
But do you think that going from the private sector to the public sector, that you can make that transition? Obviously, the sectors have different needs and approaches and sensitivities. How do you think you can make that transition smoothly when you become mayor? Because you have no political experience, right? You haven't held office
before.
Yep. Right. So tell me about that, like that transition. How do you think, will it be smooth?
It'll be smooth. The reason is that Oakland has what's called a strong mayor system. As a strong mayor, what it means is that the mayor is not involved in the day-to-day activities of the council, city council. So the city council members basically legislate and they, you know, execute. They legislate. They create ordinances and so forth. Then there is a city administrator who is appointed by the mayor to do the day-to-day execution of the ordinances and the policies and so forth. Mm. So the mayor is really is one who needs to connect with the community and understand the needs of the community and influence the direction. So whether we, you know, go after a certain sector or address certain issues within different parts of the city and serve as a champion for the city outside. So entice different companies to come and, you know, locate some of their business there. Work with the surrounding city leaders to address transportation or whatever, and represent the city broadly. So to answer your question, yes. If you look at the responsibilities of the mayor of Oakland and my experience, the things that I have done in working with different very, very large organizations, you would see there's a good parallel and a good match for what the city requires and what I have done previously.
Can you give me just an example of kind of qualities as a person in the private sector that would, you know, help in your new position?
Sure.
As mayor?
One of the key things that we need to accomplish in Oakland is bringing in businesses. And in my capacity as in a senior leadership of publicly traded companies, one was Accenture, which is a 250,000 employee company operating in every country, just about, you know, majority of the countries that there are, in having to deal with international and different, cultures and styles and all that kind of stuff, has really formed me in a way that I would be able to also bring that experience at a very, very large scale to communicating and connecting with different ethnicities within our city, different, needs, different socioeconomic groups within the city. And then likewise, take that and be able to communicate with the executives of companies that we need to influence to, you know, kind of believe the story that Oakland will be a prosperous place for them to come to.
So do you see Oakland then as a tech city?
Oakland can be a tech city. Honestly, I would really like to see an Oakland that has a very large artistic influence. I think that could be a very defining character and differentiating character of Oakland with respect to its surroundings.
How so?
Well, there is a very large influx of artists from around the country who, through the word of mouth and through their, you know, information and kind of connections, are coming to Oakland and relocating to Oakland. As a result, of course, the cost of living is going up in Oakland, along with other things, people from San Francisco coming to Oakland and other surrounding areas. So I just think that we could tap into that and really come up with it, not come up, but not that we would unnaturally try to create something. I think it's just allow the system or the formation of this art community to, by just virtue of kind of allowing it to grow and giving it the grounds to grow, I think we could see a dramatic uplift in the kind of the whole atmosphere of Oakland, but also recognition for it nationwide and worldwide.
As an art city.
As an art city, yeah. It's already there. If you go, if you just drive around West Oakland, you see a lot of small art studios of various types, and throughout the city, lots of galleries that are popping up.
So then this kind of leads to the issue of development and gentrification, the G word that we hear a lot these days, the tech boom and people moving out of San Francisco and making Oakland their new home. And some people talking about losing the flavor of Oakland amidst all the buildings that are coming up and the new people that are coming in. What do you make of all of that? How do you balance redevelopment with preserving the essence of what Oakland is?
First of all, there was a very rich study that was done by Just Cause that was published in April of this year. It was called Development Without Displacement. But to, first of all, acknowledge Oakland is one of the biggest cities by landmass in the Bay Area. So there's a ton of space to build, a variety of terrain. So we have the hills, we have, you know, coastline, we have everything in between. So it's not like there's a shortage of land to build on. The issue that I see that we have to be very respectful and mindful of are the residents of Oakland who have been there for generations. That's what we need to really be respectful of and ensure that we're not causing displacement of those people or causing, you know, evictions or, frankly, just low-quality homes. As we accommodate the incoming, you know, people from wherever they're coming from.
And so as a mayor, how would you do that?
What I would do, it's a huge problem. Actually, it's a huge issue with a time sensitivity element. In other words, if we allow the development to go on without proper controls, the loss of homes and everything cannot be reversed very easily. So what I would do is, and I've said it on the platform, it's published on the website, is I would designate an individual on my staff above and beyond what the current allowance is by taking a 50% cut in the mayor's salary during my term to fund this additional position, who would be solely dedicated to ensuring that we don't have a loss of affordable homes in as we go through the development, and also enforcement of the building codes, the health codes, and the safety codes in the rental properties to make sure we have quality, safe places for people
because,
to live.
Because there are codes, they're just not being followed.
They're not being followed. They're not being enforced. That's right.
The Oakland Police Department. Violent crime is down drastically in Oakland. But still, police and community relations seem a bit strained. So I'm wondering how you see the Oakland Police Department, and what would you change about it, if anything, when you take office? especially in this area of relationships with the community?
The Oakland Police Department is, I want to say, over 90% made of non-Oakland residents. That is, in my opinion, the number one contributor to the lack of proper communication and respect between the community and the police. We have to bring that in to be the reverse of that. We have to have 90%+ of our police officers, if not 100%. I don't understand why even we would need anything less than 100%, but the needle has to swing in the opposite direction. People need to be inside of their communities where they're policing the people. And I think that'll have a dramatic impact on improving the relationship.
So recruitment of Oakland born and bred police officers.
Would Oakland residents. They can relocate. We could easily put an incentive program for the current police officers to just move to Oakland.
Hmm. And what does that do?
When a police officer, and secondarily to that, frankly, we need some other incentives to bring them in. It really puts a person behind each police officer that I think lacks today. It really brings humanity into those exchanges. It encourages them, I think, to get out of the car and walk their neighborhoods, to build relationships, to know people by name, know the community leaders by name at a personal level, to attend the weekly church or whatever religious beliefs that they have. All that kind of stuff are hard to measure, but they have immense impact on how we interact with each other. Mm. My opinion. I could be wrong, and I'm, like any other human being, entitled to be wrong, but that's what I believe.
And I've heard that you are so offended when an innocent person is killed in Oakland, that you said you would lower city flags to half staff whenever an innocent person is killed. Is that true?
Absolutely. In my opinion, we need to acknowledge these crimes that take place in our city. We need to not shy away from them. I understand there's always this balance between reputation for a city and, there's all these arguments that are made. You don't want to be viewed as a crime-ridden city. But as a city, every time a child, innocent citizen is killed because of an unnecessary crime, we have to bring that to the forefront and deal with it. Now, I've also said that we would need to have a task force that, frankly, immediately mobilizes, and within 30 days, we have the full understanding of what was it that cause that, in what preventive measures we can put in place. We can learn from every single one of them, and we have to prioritize it.
Hmm. So what do you think of the job done by current Mayor Gene Kwan, and what would you change?
What I have said is that we have to state facts when we speak about things. And misrepresenting things is not the right thing to do. And the list goes on of the variety of things that I believe our current mayor, Gene Kwan, has not been forthright with our people. Is when, for example, when she references the recession, recessionary impact on our city. The truth is, the most recent recession ended in Q3 of 2009, a good year, over a year before she took office. So really, she was in very much a recovery phase of our economy nationwide. In fact, the Dow Jones went from 11,000 in January 2011, when she took office, to current 17,000. So that's almost a 50% gain. So it's really disturbing that she says a lot of these things that she's done in a very, very difficult time. Actually, there haven't been difficult times. All other cities around the region have done extremely well. So I don't want to dwell on, you know, right, those things. But the truth is that what I would do, I would be very, I would drive the city in a manner that is inclusive of all of the residents. I would have...
You think that hasn't been done?
That has not been done, in my opinion.
In what sense?
I think there are sections of city that have been neglected. Specifically, East Oakland, I think, has been neglected. We need to be... we need to... We need to be outraged, almost. We need to be just, you know, in flames, if you will, of the things that are happening in East Oakland that just should not be acceptable. We need to have, you know, 24/7 planning sessions and, you know, things to address some of the issues in East Oakland, the crime, the human trafficking that happens in East Oakland. And in no way should we rest until those things are addressed. So a lot of times when we talk about the crime rate and everything, yeah, it's some of them is going in the right direction. Although if you look in the best of all scenarios, by the time her first term comes to an end, her only term, hopefully, everything across the board with regard to crime will be worse than when she took office. So although you're right, 2013 started to a downward trend, but if you look at the 2011-2012, the spike that we took in across the board in robberies and burglaries and homicides and so forth will still be higher at the end of 2014 than when she took office. So I would just be much more accessible to all of Oakland. I'd be much more vocal about the future of Oakland outside of the city. And I would look on to take on, frankly, smaller but more immediate types of programs to get our city to the next level. I've put some of them on the platform. Elimination of the vacant lots. Fairly simple thing to do, but it'll bring a lot of people together to do it. I've also put on the platform institute a one-day-a-year volunteer program for all of the people of Oakland to contribute to their communities, whether it's elimination of graffiti, whether it's just helping out with various public works projects in parks and, you know, schoolyards, things like that. Frankly, doing something that I don't think anyone addresses, which is the needs of our homeless. Oakland lacks public bathrooms. It's just an acute problem. Mm. And we wonder why there is so much public urination. Okay? And I think it's a disservice to everyone, to the store owner who has to arrive in the morning and see, you know, urine on his or her front door. It's a disservice to our visitors that come to our city. And it's a disservice, frankly, to that human being who purchased a bottle of alcohol and some store owner made profit on it and the city collected a tax on it and then yet did not provide any service to them in exchange. But the reason is they're neglected is that they're likely not to be a voter on the day of the elections. Or frankly, they don't have any money to give to our campaign, so therefore, you know, why bothering with them? I have a program on there that I believe, I don't know the exact number, but I think it's 10 cents per 1,000 ounce of 100 grain alcohol. So it'd be adjusted, right? Higher grain, not 100 grain, 100 proof alcohol. So the higher the proof, it'd be higher. The lower the proof, it'd be, you know, accordingly adjusted. And then we would use that money to install new public bathrooms throughout the city and also start programs to address the needs of the homeless specifically, directly, like, you know, mental institution, mental assistance, recovery programs, you know, drug abuse, drug recovery, all those kinds of things to help the homeless get off of the streets. Mm. So anyway, to answer your question in a long-winded way, what I would do differently, those are some of the programs that I would bring.
So you really think you have a crack at this? With everybody else being either in office or legislators or Jean Kwan herself or so.
It doesn't matter. That is not the definition of our democracy, is do I believe I have a crack at it or not. It is my obligation, at least a self-imposed obligation, since I have the means, since I have the ability, since I, you know, can, therefore I must do this for my community. It's a democracy. If my message is heard and people believe it and it resonates with them and they put me as their choice, great, I'll be happy to serve them. If they don't, that's perfectly a reasonable and fine outcome of the end game. So it's not my job to speculate, am I going to win or not? I tell you one thing, there are 15 people in this race, 14 of them will not be the next mayor. So that's okay. I'm
so
willing
you
to
do
live
the
them.
Math.
So you do the math, right? You can ask that question of any one of them, and only one of them the day after election will have won.
And what sets you apart from the rest? Why you?
Great question. I kind of saw this myself after the fact. I am the only one in this entire list of candidates who has published his principles on the website. So as I was kind of formulating my campaign, formulating my platform and everything, just a natural thing, I took a page and I just, you know, kind of put my principles on there. After my website was published and I looked at everybody else and I saw it doesn't exist. So to answer your question, what sets me apart? I've disclosed my principles that the voters and the people of Oakland should expect of me if I'm elected, and they can make an informed decision based on that.
All right. So I'm finished with kind of the campaign and you running. Now we have this little segment we like to do on Cross Currents, on KALW as a whole, and it is called My Mixtape, where we ask all our interviewees to come to after the interview to think about a song that's special to them, and then they tell us what it is, and later on we mix it in with your voice. But in this case, we wanted to do My Mix Self. Who are these guys, really? These Oakland mayoral candidates. So it's like a lightning round fast thing where I'll ask you some questions and just like bam, bam, bam.
Okay.
And they're about you, like your life. Okay, so when you were little, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Astronaut.
What was your first job?
Cutting grass.
Your first memory?
Playing in the yard.
Where?
Iran.
What do you think voters don't know about you?
My convictions.
What's your favorite food and restaurant in Oakland?
It's Ethiopian food and it's in Saro.
Your favorite book?
So many. Book. I want to say Tao Te Ching, but that's not a book. It's a. I just finished that book.
A book that inspired you, a book that stays with you.
So many. It's called The Conference of the Birds.
By
an Iranian poet.
What's your favorite place in Oakland? Favorite spot?
Jack London. Mm.
Do you have a favorite film?
Princess Bride.
Do you have a favorite television show?
We don't have TV.
Hey, I can get behind a mayor that doesn't watch TV. When you're elected mayor, who is the first person you will call to tell them that you're elected mayor?
My mom.
And why?
Because everybody else, my wife would know already.
I think that's...
And my kids would know too.
And your kids would know. Everybody would know.
She lives in Arizona, that's why.
Oh.
They live in
but
California.
But she'll be following. She'll definitely be following. Well, thank you. Anything else you would like to add or you would like people definitely to know about you?
Yeah, I would like to add that our what we suffer from in our politics, frankly, is the influence of money. And I've said that. But what I want to add is that what I believe is the best way to deal with that is transparency. Oakland has done a great job of bringing some transparency into the election process. It's called Open Disclosure.io. It brings a tremendous amount of transparency into the financials. And what I will do as the mayor, and again, it's on the platform, I would have each week five members of the public who have registered in advance selected at random to accompany the mayor and go with the mayor everywhere the mayor goes. They see everything, exclusive of privacy-related, you know, security-related things that may not be appropriate. And they will do, they have a three-way benefit, if you will. One is, as a natural thing, they'll have be the eyes and ears of fellow Oaklanders to see what is going on. Two, they'll begin to gain an appreciation of what it takes to run the city. And three, they'll bring in a very fresh set of perspectives to each of the issues that are being dealt with on any given day, on any given week. So, I think that'll just bring extreme transparency instantly, because that's a program that could be up and running on day one, from the election day to through December. The whole thing can be mobilized by virtue of, you know, very simple technology.
And do these five people change or rotate?
Every week, it's a different five. So every week, we select a different five.